In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to finish today, Sleeping in the Arms of Jesus. We're on the last two paragraphs of this document on how to rest in God, how to live this life. And in volume 36, July 6, 1938, Jesus says, "It happens to the soul as to the fish who live in the sea and who know what the sea is all about." It becomes, you know, he's just, again, showing us that as we live this life, it becomes easy. It becomes easy for the fish to live in it, you know, to know basically instinctively how to live. And so the soul feels this divine sea that is her bed, carrying her in the arms of its celestial waters. So this life that our God is asking us to live is it's the life of heaven. And as we begin to know this, as we begin to live this, our prayer is basically, Lord, let me live heaven on earth. Let me begin to live this abundant life of peace, joy, and happiness. Let me begin to trust in you so much that in all that is around us is your love. And we begin to experience this. So this divine sea feeds the soul. The divine sea makes makes her consume herself within it. So like a candle burning, it's to give light. And as it consumes itself, this light is there. And what do we consume? We consume the love of God. And this fire of God's love. You remember the three purifications. The first purification would be of water, which happened, 4,000 years ago. The second purification is of the blood of Jesus washing us clean. And now the third purification is this fire from heaven, which we know is the love of Jesus and Mary, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This fire of God's love is going to consume the world. We're going to participate in this love of God. So Jesus teaches us in the divine will that the divine will is love. It's to enter into God, is to participate into God. As God originally planned with Adam, when he created Adam, the image and likeness of God. So through holy baptism, we enter into God's image. And as we enter into the church, as we become more enamored with the life of the church, what happens at that point is then God goes, good, I want to give you more. And we enter into this abundant life. We begin to use our three powers, our intellect, memory, and will, to learn things from a divine perspective. This is the teachings of the church. This is our dogma and doctrine. Secondly, our memory isn't of us. It's of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve that they gave to Louisa. So as we read the Book of Heaven, as we study this, we become more in love, more on fire with this love. And this is what Jesus says. It amuses and embellishes the soul. Okay. When we begin to focus, I love to read the lives of the saints every day, if I can, if I have the time. And we fall more in love with our brothers in Christ, our brothers and sisters in Christ, recognizing in them this love that they had for humanity. This love and why it says, you know, love your God with your whole heart, all your mind and all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. We love our neighbor because Christ is there. You know, through baptism, through holy baptism, we are no longer sons and daughters of Adam, but we become sons and daughters of God. And this is the life that our God wants us to participate in. And the more that we begin to focus on the lives of the saints, listening to them, reading about their lives, the more we're ready for this great gift of the divine will. Because what Jesus tells Louisa is the saints learned how to do the will of God. And now God wants us to live in the will of God. And I find many, many times people say, oh, this is a great prayer. It's the prayer of St. Teresa, a prayer of St. Gertrude, a prayer of St. Francis. Oh, it's the divine will. It's doing the will of God. And what Jesus wants us to do is to cross over to living in the divine will. And the only one that helps us enter into living in the divine will is Louisa. So what does our God do? Our God says to us, go to the book of heaven. So there is one of the books. I mean, the book of heaven is a library. And everything that Jesus speaks, every word that Jesus speaks is a library that will continue for all eternity. As you begin to read what that word, when Jesus spoke to Louisa, as you read these words, your capacity of understanding understanding expands. Okay, so when God said, fiat lux, let there be light, the universe, the entire universe began. Everything, the stars that are 1,000 million miles away, I mean, and still expanding away from the earth, is showing us the power of God in that one word, fiat lux. And now God is trying to help us understand what these words are. A lot of people limit God. A lot of people say, well, this is what it is, and that's it, period. No, no. God is going to expand our capacity for all eternity. And he's beginning now. Remember, scripture says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will reveal to you all truths, and he will remind you of everything that I have said. This to me is the book of heaven. And as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, it becomes alive. So that's why we're getting to the echo book. The echo book is all the prayers that Jesus spoke to, taught Louisa in the book of heaven. And as you read the echo book, what happens is you begin to learn how to live in the divine will. Okay. You're not just, see, what we've done for the last 2000 years is begin. We've learned how the saints prayed, and we echo their prayer. Well, in the divine will, we're not echoing a saint's prayer. We're not echoing Louisa's prayer. Jesus says to Louisa, I whisper this prayer into your ear, repeat it. And it's Jesus, I love you. I want to enter into this life. I want to be one with you. Jesus is teaching Louisa. So the echo book is everything that Jesus taught Louisa. And as we read that, as we study it, we stop limiting God to a saintly way, a good way, a holy way to enter into the prayer that Jesus says is a divine way of praying. Now, Jesus then begins to pray in us. It's not us echoing the life of a saint. It's Jesus praying in our praying. This is why Our Lady said to Louisa, I'm going to teach you new and powerful prayers. Prayers that are so powerful that as you pray, like the command prayer, as you pray, Jesus taught Louisa the command prayer. And if you, I think it's August of 2014, I think we did the whole talk on the command prayer. You can find that at divinewell.life or divinewell.org. If you want to learn every word, and that, see, this is going to be the fun part. For all eternity, we're going to dive into this ocean of divine love. And God's going to, as he said here, we will know the divine will. We will feel this divine sea as our bed and in the arms of this divine celestial waters. We enter into this abundant life of Jesus and of Mary. It's not of a saint. It's of Jesus and Mary. That's why we go to Louisa. She's the firstborn, the newborn of this gift. So it feeds her, makes her consume herself within it. We enter into this abundant life that our God wants us to begin to live. So he says, it amuses and embellishes her, and if the soul wants to sleep, it forms her bed in its depths, permitting nobody to awaken her. Everything becomes fiat for us. Everything becomes yes to God. This is how Our Lady lived. She said, fiat mihi, let it be done as you say. I want to please God, but I don't know man. How can I do this? That was Our Lady's prayer. How can I respond to you, angel, because I've already vowed my life of being a virgin for all eternity. That's my life. I've promised this. But how can I do this, she says. How can I accomplish what God wants of me? This fiat, this yes, was there. And the angel said, it will be through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Our Lady said, fiat mihi, let it be done as you wish. I want what God wants. A lot of people, you know, say when they're entering into the divine will, I got to know the will of God. What should I take, the left road or the right road? Should I take this yes or this no? Should I take this red or this blue? What do I choose? That's doing the will of God. That's what God taught the saints. Leading up to what? Living in the divine will, which now Jesus has given to Louisa, and the whole church is now going to enter into this life. The whole church is going to participate in this life. It's not going to be, you know, Franciscans and Dominicans and Benedictines. It's not going to be divided. Oh, I'm going to follow Francis's way. I'm going to follow Benedict's way. I'm going to follow Dominic's way and all the other beautiful religious life. It's Jesus's life. It's Mary's life that we begin to live. Who possesses this? This was given to Louisa. So again, this life amuses, embellishes her. If the soul wants to sleep, the divine will forms the bed in its depths, permitting nobody to awaken her. You get a deep sleep, this rest. Jesus tells Louisa that, you know, this era that we've entered into, this new era of the divine will, we're going to rest in God. John Paul II says, get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. John Paul II says, get ready to enter a new and divine way of holiness. So the third millennium is, and this is what Saint Padre Pio said, the third millennium, in the third millennium, we're going to enter into this life of Louisa. This life of Louisa will be known and studied by the church in the third millennium. We're going to enter into this abundant life, okay? So what happens is when you read sacred scripture in Genesis, it says, for the evening of the first day, the morning of the second day, the evening of the second day, the morning of the third day. We enter into this life of more evening and morning. That's why Saturday night is the beginning of Passover, or beginning of Sunday. We begin to, from the evening on, from the darkness into the light of the next day, we prepare ourselves for that new day, that Sunday, where we keep holy the Sabbath. Our Lord says there's no morning or evening. I mean, you can see it in sacred scripture. There's no morning or evening of the seventh day, the day of rest. That time, a day will be like 1,000 years, 1,000 years will be like a day, is what we're going to enter into. This rest with God, this oneness with God, as God originally planned for Adam. We're going to go back to the womb of the Father, Jesus says, so that we can begin to live this abundant life. So he says, it even sleeps together with her. Such is the love of my divine will for the soul who lives inside this ocean, this sea, and who knows it. So again, the saints were told to know, love, and serve God. That's what the saints have been taught. That's what they teach us. Know, love, and serve God. In the divine will, it's to know, love, and possess God. That's the difference between what God taught the saints and now what God is teaching us. To know, love, and possess God. And we begin to know the divine will as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice. It's the language of heaven. And a lot of people, when they first read the book of heaven, they go, I don't know about this, because they haven't understood it. They haven't learned it yet. Jesus says, as you learn this, as you study this, as you put this into practice, and it's a little bit each day. It's one step each day. What God is asking us to do is to begin to live this abundant life. He says, for the one who knows it, that it does in her all the arts that the divine will wants to do. This is why Jesus says, the children of the divine will, I'm going to make of them my divine masterpiece. We're going to learn all the arts that God, the divine will, wants to do in us. See, that's the surrender. That's the docility. That's the submission. That's not limiting God. A lot of people say when God says to them, it's like the saints, the God would say, I want you to do this, and they run the other way. I want you to do this, and they run the other way. Because it's like, I don't know if I want to do this. I don't understand this. This is terrifying to have God be in charge of our life. That's what Adam did. Adam left the umbrella, under the umbrella of God taking care of Adam. And God wanted to participate in everything that Adam thought, said, and did. He wanted Adam to share in divinity. A human, a creature, share in divinity. This is what the priest says every day at Holy Mass, putting the drop of water, which is us, we're nothing, into the cup filled with wine. As the water fuses and diffuses, as the drop of wine fuses and diffuses, the drop of water becomes wine. May we share in the divinity of Christ. This is what God's got planned. And this is why it's so, we're going to let God do all the arts that God wants to do with us. We become that canvas that Jesus says with a painter. The artist puts what he wants on the canvas. He produces his art. That's what God wants to do with us. Spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, he wants to sanctify us. He wants to have us begin to share in divinity. And all that God says is, stand back. Let me do this. Let me accomplish what I originally planned for Adam. You've learned how to become a saint doing the will of God. Now Jesus says, I'm now going to teach you how to live in the will of God. That's why St. Louis de Montfort says, in the final days, they'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. See, what the saints did is build houses, build convents, build rectories, build schools, build orphanages, build hospitals. Jesus says, I'm going to do this now. He is building in us this palace. That's him in us, so that we can begin to enter into this new Jerusalem that's coming upon earth, the new heavens and the new earth. The things of old are passed away. The things of the evil one are passed away. And that's what we're entering into. And as we enter into this abundant life, we begin to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness. We begin to live a life of heaven. That's what God is asking. If it wants to think, it thinks in the soul. If the divine will wants to look, it looks through her eyes, the soul's eyes. If the divine will wants to speak, it speaks in the word, in the person speaking, keeping the soul in continuous communication. This is communion. This is the oneness with God, hearing God, seeing God, smelling God, tasting God, touching God. This is why Jesus says to Louisa in volume 36, the senses were made for God. So as Catholics, we already see God. When we go and spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, we are looking at God. It's not a place to read a book. It's a place to fall in love with God, looking at God, God looking at us, falling deeper and deeper in love with our God. You know, the saints say, and again, we learn from the saints, that when you spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, looking at Jesus in the monstrance, your heart should be on fire with love. As he says, consuming, consumed in love. A lot of people misunderstand what you do when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament. It's very simple. There's four things that you do, okay, in front of the Blessed Sacrament. The first thing is you adore God. So for the first, if you're there for an hour, the first 15 minutes is adoring God, adoring him, praising him, thanking him, glorifying him, worshiping him, you know, thanking him for who he is and what he has given. The second is contrite. You are sorry for your sins. For the next 15 minutes, you go through your life, all that you thought, said, and did separate from God, and you're contrite. Your guilt turns into a greater sorrow. And then for the next 15 minutes, you're thanking God. What has he done? He's redeemed. He's created us. He's redeemed us. And now he wants to sanctify us. So that for that 15 minutes. And then finally, the last 15 minutes is supplication. Your petitions. Lord, you know, this is happening and that's happening and this happened. Lord, be the Lord of the earth. Be our Savior, our King. Help us in our need. So it's ACTS, acts. That hour becomes a minute. Why? As you go through, just like in the beginning, adoring God, let's go to thanking God. What do you thank God for? You could think of 30 things. Okay, 30 things that you can thank God for, and spend 30 seconds on each thing. That's the 15 minutes. It's done. You can thank God for our Blessed Mother. You can thank God for the sacraments. You can thank God for the sacramentals. You know, it's you thank God for creation. And then you could go through all of creation. When you're teaching the children about the divine will, you say to them, what do you want to thank God for this morning? What do you want to thank God for? And, oh, I don't know. I don't. Well, let's look at the leaves on the trees, the blade of grass, the grains of sand, the drops of water. Everything is an I love you. And then the children begin to say, everything's an I love you. Well, what about this? Yes, that's an I love you. What about that? And they're beginning to understand how to pray the rounds. It's just the beginning. For all eternity, we're going to adore God and love God and praise God and thank God and glorify God and worship God, because that's heaven. We're going to see God as he is. And scripture says what we are now is children of God. What we're going to become, we do not know, but we know we are going to become like him because we're going to see him as he is. That's what's coming. And that's what the book of heaven is trying to help us enter into this life. It says, keeping this continuous communication, this communion with God. This is the perennial communion that Adam had, where he walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. This is why at Holy Mass, God gives us himself through the consecration, through the priest. And then why? What happens at that point is Mass ends. You receive communion, the final prayer, the final blessing. Why? The church does not want to interfere with your communion. It's the holiest time of the day, where you adore God and love God and praise God and thank God and glorify God. You enter into falling deeper in love with God every single day. Jesus says this, telling the soul many of the wonders of what? Of the eternal love of God. See, we're entering into this life of love. This divine will is the life of God. And he's asking us to return to where Adam was before the fall, so that we can be in this perennial communion with God, God walking and talking with God in the cool of the evening, but all day long, never to be separated from God again. This is why God has given us the book of heaven at this time. Everything's beginning to change. And again, there's doom and gloomers out there. There's nothing to be gloomy about. There's nothing to be upset about. The kingdom is coming. Only one is upset. The one who owns this world, the prince of this world, is going to be gone. Look at the signs all around us. It's very clear that the kingdom is coming. The new Jerusalem is coming. And our God is asking us to begin to live this abundant life. If it wants to work, Jesus says, the divine will works in us. See that this is the fun of living in the divine will. You enter into this unity, this oneness with Christ. And what happens is everything that you're doing is filled with joy, filled with happiness. Even if you stub your toe, you're filled with joy. You're filled with happiness because you're doing everything one with Jesus, as Jesus did everything on earth. You're entering into his holy humanity. This is what God taught the saints. Why? So that now we can now enter into the interior life of Christ, this divine life of Jesus, what he did, what he thought, what he said. It's not only exteriorly, but interiorly, to be one with Christ, fused with Christ in his holy divine will. Why? So that we can be fused with the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So he gives us the reflection of the Trinity on earth, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, and we fuse ourselves with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. Why? So you can fuse yourself with creation, redemption, and sanctification. This is our life. Why do you do that? So you can enter into the divine will to participate as God wanted Adam to participate, so that you and all of us can return to the prime act of God, the one act of God, the eternal act of God. See, Jesus is teaching us. And as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, you want to be fused to our triune God. You want to be fused to Jesus, the new Adam, Mary, the new Eve, and Louisa, the newborn. See, what happens is you begin to understand that this life on earth, it's not heaven. This life on earth is to prepare us to show God what we want. We want eternity with you, Lord. Remember, you have to remember, a lot of people think of this life as it. This is it. When we die, we're just dead. We're underground, just become food for worms. What Jesus shows us is what St. Thomas Aquinas said. He knocked on the wood. He says, this wood is not eternal like eternity is. This wood will want someday turn to dust. He says, but eternity is forever. See, we've got to enter into this abundant life. This is what Jesus is showing. So if it wants to walk, it walks. It walks. If it wants to love, it divinely loves. It's Jesus in us loving. He's teaching us not to just love humanly, but divinely. My fiat is always busy with the soul who wants the divine will. And she not only recognizes the divine will, but she never leaves the divine will alone. It's always wanting to be fused with our triune God, fused with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, fused with creation, redemption, all of redemption, sanctification, all of sanctification. This is why God created us, to participate in our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The soul sinks more and more in this ocean of love, the sea of love, because the soul knows if she gets out of the sea, she'll lose her life. She'll lose her God. That's our life. We don't want to leave this ocean of love anymore. The creature that lives in our divine will, Our celestial residence, heaven, is now on earth. And with their love, they delight in forming these waves of our sea, our ocean, waves of love, to amuse us, triune God, and makes us happy. God, what is God doing? He sees his image and likeness in us again. It's all based on love, all based on surrender to God. So he's asking us, our Lord is asking us and pleading with us to be, don't limit God. Let God have his way with you. As Our Lady said, how can I do this? I want to please God, but I've already made a vow of virginity. How can I be the mother of God? How can this happen? And the angel said it would be through the power of the Holy Spirit. And she says, yes, I want what God wants. She didn't say, no, wait a minute. She didn't limit God. We are called by Jesus to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. What did Jesus say? He said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. This is what they taught Luisa, how to live this life of yes. Yes, I want what you want. So what does God do for us? He didn't do this for the saints. He gave us the book of heaven. And he says, as you read this, as you study this, as you put this into practice, everything changes for you. Everything changes for you. Heaven comes to earth. You begin to live this celestial life now. You begin to be a celestial resident of heaven while on earth. Peace, joy, and happiness. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, and someday no more sin. See, we're repairing and redoing. This is what Jesus taught Luisa. Our life is to say to God, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, Lord, I want to turn away from all that is opposite of your life. I want to embrace your holy humanity completely. Why? So that then I can begin to live this divine life. So if in our life, everything that's opposed to the holy humanity of Christ, worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin, if that's still in our life when we die, we have to go to purgatory. We have to go. We have to be purged of everything that's against the holy humanity of Jesus. So what Jesus is asking of us is to begin to live this life now of Jesus, of Mary, to be free of all worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. That's our job. That's why we're here, to prove to Jesus, yes, I want to become a celestial resident now before I die. Now before I die. That's why Jesus says to Luisa, if you're really living in the divine will, which nobody is really living fully in the divine will at this point, Luisa is. But when that day comes that Jesus says, I will give it to the world, then he says, you will begin to understand what it means to live in the divine will. So what we're doing now is we're striving to live the holy humanity of Christ and learn the life of Jesus, the interior life of Jesus, to live this. So he says, the creature that lives in our divine will is our celestial resident, and with their love, they delight in forming these waves of love of our ocean to amuse us and to make us, triune God, happy. Volume 36, November 30th, 1938. One single glance from Luisa and the souls linked to Luisa, sweet and peaceful, joyful, happy, wounds us, triune God. That's because it's a reflection of God. Peaceful, joyful, and happy. No more complaints, no more negativity. Wounds us, triune God, and makes us turn chastisements into graces. Yes, there's a lot going on, a lot of chastisements, but they're going to be turned into graces by the little souls in the divine will. So her acts are nothing other than bonds of peace. We are strapped, tied to God, these bonds of peace, the peaceful messengers that bring the kiss of peace of humanity back to God. This is what Adam had in the beginning. This is what how Our Lady lived. This is how Our Lord lived. This is what they taught Louisa, how to live this true life of the new Adam, Jesus, the true life of the new Eve, Mary, and the kiss of God back to humanity. This is why Jesus called heaven the wedding feast for all eternity, one with God. Further, the more the creature lives in our most holy divine will, the more the soul comes deeply back into our divine family, acquiring our divine modes and receiving our divine secrets. See, he did not let this gift be given to the saints because they had not learned how to possess the holy humanity of Christ, the exterior life yet. But Jesus says, because I'm giving you this gift, he says, now we're going to go to the next step, the interior life of Christ. That's why Pope St. John Paul II said, we're going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. This is a glorious time to be alive. It's nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be anxious about, nothing to be worried about. It's a time of testing where Jesus says, do you want this life? And when we say yes, he goes, good, live it. Begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. How do you do this? I've read the saints. How do you do this? Jesus says, I will teach you. Remember, Jesus says he is going to teach us. Read Ezekiel 34. It's very, very clear. The soul looks more like us, image and likeness. And we, triune God, love the soul more. We love each other more. We begin to love God divinely. Why? It's Jesus in us that's loving the triune God. It's his love in us. It's not human. It's divine. We let go of the humanity, the human, in order to embrace the holy humanity of Christ. Instead of the fallen humanity of Adam, we begin to embrace the holy humanity of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. The soul puts us in the condition of giving her, the soul, always new graces. And when you see the word new in the divine will, it means God, God's graces, new love surprises, God's love of surprises. Of he loves us so much that he has kept hidden everything, even from the angels. The angels are going to be astonished of what God is going to pour upon his children. We're going to be astonished for all eternity. As St. Thomas says, we're going to be in the eternal awe of God. For all eternity, we're going to be surprised of how much our God loves us and what he has planned for us. We keep in the soul who lives in the divine will, our home as a member of our family. This is intimate. This is oneness with God. The soul eats at our table and sleeps on our knees. And we, triune God, just cannot live without the soul in the divine will. Why? It's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. He can't live without us. Our will ties the soul so much to us, triune God, feeling her love and attraction. And it's not human. It's not the fallen human nature. It's now the true love of Jesus, the true love of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. That's what God is seeing in us. That we, triune God, cannot be without the soul, nor the soul without us. What God has planned is for now. What God has planned for all eternity is now. That's why Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno in 1947, time has now come to an end. No, it's not the end of the world. It might look like that. Good. It's waking us up. It's the kingdom is coming. It's the fulfillment of the Our Father. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. This great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming. Why is this happening? The kingdom is coming. The kingdom of God is coming on earth as it is in heaven. 2,000 years of praying the Our Father, Jesus says, now it's going to happen. And the evil one is panicking. When Our Lady said to Bruno, time has now come to an end, she said, it's the end of this era. Who owns this era, the prince of this world? It's going to end soon. So what is our God saying? I'm going to show you the way and the how. So he saved the book of heaven for us. He predestined us to live at this time. Why? He has great hope in us. He says, there's not going to be many. He says, but he says to Louisa, you must be the yeast. Everyone else, all humanity is the flour. And you as the yeast living this life now, I remember in 1997, Archbishop Cassati said to us, you're promoting the divine will in a saintly way, a good way, a holy way. He says, the divine will must be promoted in a divine manner. And I said, what's a divine manner? What are you talking about? This is how we learned, you know, from the saints. The divine manner is we begin to live it. And as we begin to live this life, God begins to do everything. It's not us. As you read, as you study, someone in China begins to live this life. Someone in Africa begins this life. Somebody in South America begins this life. Somebody in Canada, in the United States begins to live this life. Why? Even Australia. Someone begins to live this life. India. I mean, God is doing it. He's saying, who now wants to live this? Who is of good will? Who is of God's will? Peace on earth, God's, it's not goodwill toward men. Peace on earth to men of God's will. That's where the peace comes from. So what the Lord is looking for is he's looking for souls that want this life, want heaven on earth. So they're the next ones to live in it. And again, you don't need much yeast to have a loaf of bread rise. It's the same thing Jesus says, I'm going to do this. But he says, these are the ones that I've chosen to live at this time because of their nothingness. If you think you're something, God can't use you. If you're nothing, God can use you. Again, we are, you know, the little drummer boy. We don't even have a drum. Everything is of God. We want to surrender everything to God. He has to be our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, our all. That's why God is calling us to spend time with him, to fall deeper in love with him so that we can give our fiat in a more powerful way each day. Each day, get falling more and more in love with God. That's what God is waiting for. That's what he's waiting for. And he needs us to cooperate. There are many people that limit God and go, well, this isn't for me. God goes, it's not for you. You've already said no to God. He says, I'm looking for the souls who say what Our Lady said. How can I do this? You want this, Lord? Let it be done as you wish. Let it happen as you want, not as how I understand it, how you want it to be accomplished. Total surrender, total docility, total submission is the life of the souls living in the divine will, peaceful, joyful, happy. Heaven on earth. You become a celestial resident of heaven on earth. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. We'll have a new talk next week.